You have your Bibles, and I hope you do. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. If you don't have one, there's one for you after the service. You can pick it up at the Welcome Center as a gift from us. I'd like us, out of respect and honor to God's Word, let's stand together as I read these few verses. Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10. Galatians 6, 7 to 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. May God bless the reading of His Word. You can be seated. Again, I believe this message, this truth from God's Word can transform your life today. Would you bow with me quickly before we open up and dig into God's Word? Father, again, we invite the Spirit of the living God to move freely in this place, so that as we get into your holy Word, that holy seed would take deep root in our lives for God's glory. Hide your servant behind the cross. Give us ears to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. How to experience the benefits of eternal life. Understanding the law of sowing and reaping. No different than the law of gravity or any other law. In my reading and studying over the last few weeks and months, there's been a book that has been referred to by a number of individuals that I've read from. A book written in 1975 by John Lawrence, who was a graduate of Dallas, called The Law or The Seven Laws of the Harvest. I'd encourage you to pick it up. Kriegel has republished this book, and you will find it good for your soul. Now, in the context this morning, as we consider the book of Galatians, and specifically chapter 6, 7 to 10, has to do with the treatment of ministers by their people in the matter of their financial support. But this law certainly has a wider range than that. In fact, Paul's words express a general law. And the law is this, that whatever one sows, that will he also reap. In other words, what you plant, you will harvest. Or as the world states it, what goes around comes around. It's all about our choices. My friend, your problems and my problems may not be about our circumstances as we so often think. But instead, we may be simply reaping what we've sown. We need to ask ourselves, is it our circumstances or is it harvest time? About a month ago or so, I was disc golfing with my son in Peoria. It was 93 degrees and the heat index, I'm sure, was well over 100. I had exercised, eaten a quick lunch, and we went to the disc course there at Bradley Park and wasn't doing very well, but I'm very competitive, and we came to the eighth tee, and I through that disc, and it went beautifully into the ravine. That happens frequently with my golf balls, too. And so I trekked over to the ravine, and I climbed up and down this ravine, fell a few times, was huffing and puffing, and was about ready to give up and figured I'd lost my disc. But I went down to the road, which was quite a ways away, and there it was, right there in the road. I thought, wow, cool. So I picked it up and tossed it up there, and amazingly, I was 20 feet from the pin. But as I climbed up the ravine, I was a little bit short of breath and wasn't feeling very good, and there just so happened to be a tree stump that had been cut like a chair. And since I'm competitive and I wanted to par this hole, I said to my son, I think I need to sit down for a minute before I putt. But I think I'll be okay. And he suggested maybe he should go get the... No, he suggested that maybe we should quit. And I said, no, I think I'll be all right after a minute or two. And as I sat there, the longer I sat there, I didn't feel very good. And then I remember him saying, I think I'm going to go get the car. And I remember thinking, but the words never came out of my mouth. No, I don't think you should get the car. I'm not feeling very good. And the next thing I know from my son is, my eyes rolled to the back of my head, I fainted, and started to fall off the stump. He races over, grabs me, slaps me in the chest, grabs my car keys out of my, or my cell phone out of my pocket, and pours water on my head. And there I'm sitting, and he calls 911. Yippee. They come, you know, in full force, and they haul me off to Methodist Hospital, where for the next 4 or 5 hours, my family and I had a lovely evening. While you were enjoying King's Brass, I was in the Methodist Hospital. They ran a battery of tests, and they determined that it was heat exhaustion due to dehydration. They said, you better check with your doctor later in the week. So I did, and my doctor said, well, you know, I think that's probably true, but you're not a Marine, and you're over 50, and I think we need to run a few more tests. And I said, great. So to make a long story short, he ran a battery of tests, and I visited him, and he said, you know, everything's okay. It was probably heat exhaustion and dehydration. My interpretation of what happened and my conclusion to what the doctor shared was that I'm in good shape, but my shape isn't very good. You see, I'm out of shape, overweight, and I can do something about that. But I wasn't hydrated, and I was simply experiencing the consequences of my choices. Not just that day, but over months, if not years. And what I want us to realize as we dive into this passage, and as we consider these laws of the harvest, if you will, we need to keep 7 things in mind as we consider this truth this morning. Number 1, this law applies to everybody. Believers and unbelievers. Married and single. Male and female. Jew and Gentile. Young and old. It crosses all continents, eras, and nationalities. It's unavoidable. Secondly, this law operates both positively and negatively, depending on what you're sowing. And we are not going to have time to point out the positives and the negatives today. I'm relying upon the Spirit of God to bring His truth to bear in your life this morning. Thirdly, the results are in both blessing and judgment or cursing. Again, it all depends on what you're sowing. You see, you may think, well, why is it that so-and-so is enjoying the benefits of eternal life? It's just not fair. It has nothing to do with random. It has everything to do with what one is sowing. Because what you sow, you will harvest. What you plant, you will reap. Next, this law can either be to you today a word of warning or a word of encouragement. It all depends on what you've been sowing. Number six, or five, this law is absolute, irrefutable, certain, and undeniable. I mean, it's always going to work. It is never avoided, never bypassed. You can't dicker with this law. There's no way around it. It's absolute. Six, this law impacts every area of your life. We know that financially, don't we? Consider our economy. Deficit spending, no balanced budget. We spend more than we take in. It's caught up with us, right? Morally, physically, what you do or don't do regarding your health and your diet and exercise is going to catch up with you someday. I'm a terrible one. I don't floss my teeth. I don't know why. It's too hard. I asked the dentist one time, is it important to floss your teeth? Only the ones you want to keep. You know, there may be someone here today in their marriage that they're saying, you know what? We've just drifted apart. Harvest time. With your family, with your grades. Spiritually, morally. You can't sow wrong and reap right. But this morning, our concern is with the spiritual eternal implications. We're going to let the Spirit of God work out the rest in your life this morning. Let's look at our text. And notice first the problem. Notice what Paul says as he writes to the Galatians. We know from chapter 3, verse 1, that they were already being deceived or bewitched. But he says to them in verse 7, do not be deceived. They were already being deceived by false teachers into a legalistic lifestyle. They had this idea that they could, by self-effort or works, find favor with God. That's what Galatians is about. And Paul said, no, you're justified by grace through faith. It's not of works. How are we deceived? Well, believe it or not, we don't even need an outside source to deceive us. We deceive ourselves by our pride and rationalizing. Consider the Old Testament prophet Obadiah. Let me help you. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Turn to the book of Obadiah. Keep your finger there. Let me give you a little bit of background. Again, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. That's how I find it. Yeah, it's no secret. This prophecy is against Israel's relative, against her neighbor, an intermittent enemy. Edom was strategically located south of the Dead Sea, comfortably nestled in the rugged mountains there. And they had this attitude, this idea, that they were invincible, that nothing could happened to them up there. And notice in Obadiah verses 3 and 4 what the prophet said to the people of Obadiah or Edom. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. We deceive ourselves by our own foolish pride and rationalizing. Let me give you more truth. Jeremiah 7 says, the heart is deceitful, above all things, and desperately wicked. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You see, we don't need an outside source to be deceived. We do a very good job at that ourselves. Pastor Scott has been preaching through the book of James. How can we forget James 1:22? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. You see, we hear a great message or we're a part of a terrific Bible study and we think that's enough. But we don't change anything. We leave thinking that because we know the facts now, that we're really growing, that we're going to experience the benefits of eternal life. We've deceived ourselves. You see, our problem is not a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of application. You see, we listen to ourselves far too often instead of speaking truth to ourselves. We make excuses or justify our actions. We put more stock in our own perspective than in what God's Word says. We go with our own ideas, even when they're contrary to God's Word, because we aren't taking them seriously. We reason in our own thinking or resolve in our own mind that what we're doing or how we're behaving or what we're sowing is okay. After all, God wants me to be happy. Or He'll understand. That's just lame. Let me say something to address that. If you stand and beat your head against a brick wall, God may understand, but you're still going to end up with a headache. So whether you beat your head or not, and whether God understands or not, the consequences are the same because you're violating the law. So we deceive ourselves. And then others deceive us. False teachers. Emissaries of Satan. We know according to Matthew 24 that in the end days, many will be led astray. John said in Revelation chapter 12 that old serpent called the devil deceives the whole world. Did you realize that as we are living in the last days, we are open to more deception than anybody at any time? 2 Timothy 3:13 says, evil men and seducers will become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see, we listen to the whispers of the world, telling us lies and half-truths that lead us away from God's truth to destructive attitudes and actions. We listen to things like this. It's just this one time. No one will know. You deserve it. Just one quick look. We can no longer be deceived into thinking that we can get away with violating God's law. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Let's look at the next statement. He says, do not be deceived. And he's going to build on that. God is not mocked. You can't outwit God. You can't fool God. You cannot shake your fist at God. You cannot do as you please and think that you're going to pay, that you're not going to pay the consequences. You can't ignore God's law. You can't fight against God and win. Now, we may be deceived and arrogantly buy into the world's lies, thinking that somehow we'll avoid the consequences, that no one's really getting hurt, that my way is better than God's way, or that's just the way I am. But God isn't deceived by those lies. He doesn't buy into that. That's a trick that's only played on you, and it's from the pit of hell. Remember Samson? He was to be a Nazarite. What potential he had. He was to adhere to sow, if you will, what it meant to be a Nazarite. And one by one, He violated all the laws of the Nazarite vow. And the whole time he thought he could sow what he wanted and he wasn't going to reap. And then what happened? He cut his hair and they capture him and he dies a terrible death. He harvested what he planted. Let's look at the particulars. Let's look at the particulars. There are five of them we're going to look at quickly. In fact, you're going to say in a minute here, we pay this guy to do this? You see, we understand the laws of the harvest or the laws of sowing and reaping as they apply to zoology and botany. And we know that we sow and reap in kind and likeness. I'm nobody's fool, but I know that this zucchini came about as a result of a zucchini seed that was planted. And when you plant a zucchini seed, you get lots of zucchini. I had a great evening of corn the other night. You know where this came from? A kernel of corn. Wow. You plant corn, you get corn. You plant zucchini, you get zucchini. We planted tomatoes in our yard. I can't wait for the harvest of tomatoes. I'm not expecting watermelon. Don't like watermelon. But I'm looking forward to tomatoes from that vine, from one seed. We know that, as the Scripture says, notice verse 8, for one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. We sow and reap in likeness or kind. We understand that. Listen to these verses in Scripture. Proverbs 4:8, as I have seen, those who sow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Proverbs 11:18, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. How about Hosea the prophet? Sow for yourselves righteousness and reap steadfast love. You have plowed iniquity, you have reaped injustice. Don't kid yourself. You may seem to be getting away with it here and now, with no one knowing or no consequences. But harvest time is coming. You can't pull a fast one on God or escape His notice. You cannot sow and not reap in kind. The law abides. It remains. The harvest is always determined by the planting. The like begets the like. What you plant is what you get. You are the fruit of what has been planted. You cannot sin without consequences. We sow and reap in kind. Notice the text here. We sow in two fields. Notice, you either sow in the field of the flesh or in the field of the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to sow in the flesh? It means we sow to self. It's all about me. My wants, my gratification, my way. Listen to what John Stott said in regard to sowing to the flesh. Every time we allow our mind to harbor a grudge, how does that apply? Nurse a grievance, entertain impure fancy, wallow in self-pity, we are sowing to the flesh. Every time we linger in bad company, whose insidious influence we know we cannot resist, every time we lie in bed when we ought to be up praying, every time we read pornographic literature, every time we take a risk that strains our self-control, we are sowing to the flesh. Need it clearer than that? Look over at Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. And see what grows when we sow to the flesh. Look at this lovely garden. These beautiful plants, if you will. Notice in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Where did that come from? You're sowing in the flesh and you're reaping it. Rivalry, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before that those who practice such things, that's literally what it means, will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't sow discord and reap unity. You can't sow sin and reap sanctification. You cannot sow hypocrisy and reap holiness of life. David reaped what he had sown, even though he confessed his sin and was forgiven. You see, confession and forgiveness in no way stop the harvest. I'll share more hopeful words with you later if you just stay with me on that. On the other hand, we can sow to the Spirit and we'll reap eternal life instead of corruption, decay and death and deterioration. What does it mean we're investing in spiritual and eternal things? You see, eternal life is a quality of life. It's a kind of life. It's the superiority of a life lived in Christ. It means we're enjoying joys and peace and contentment and blessings. Now, what does it mean to sow in the Spirit? It means to be filled with the Spirit. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5? Don't be drunk with wine. How many of you would have thought would have been utterly foolish for me to get up here drunk today? Everybody's hand should be raised, right? It would be equally as foolish for me to think that I can get up here in my flesh or to go about my daily business any day without being filled with the Spirit. He's making a contrast there. If it's foolish to get drunk with wine, which is excess, it's just as foolish for us to be deceived into thinking that I can operate today and sow in the Spirit apart from being filled with the Spirit or walking in the Spirit or being dominated by the Spirit or being Christ-conscious. You see, we may look at someone and say, man, how is it or why is it that he's experiencing the benefits of eternal life? It's just not fair. It has nothing to do with fairness. It has everything to do with what you're planting, where you're sowing. You're just seeing the harvest, the fruit of that. How many of us sow wild oats through the week and then we come here praying for crop failure? It's not going to happen. You sow what you reap, and you sow and reap in likeness and kind. Notice the second particular. We reap later, not immediately. Again, simple stuff. Every farmer understands that. But we deceive ourselves. Listen to what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily. The heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. What do they think? We're getting away with it. There's no harvest time. There's no sowing and reaping. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God, because they fear before Him. But it will not be well with the wicked. My friend, just because God doesn't settle accounts every day or every week doesn't mean God's not going to settle accounts. Harvest time is coming. It's unavoidable. So be careful what you're sowing. Be mindful of the choices you make. The harvest always awaits God's appointed time. Young people, I know you had a great week in Colorado. I have a dear Christian brother who's serving a life sentence at the Iowa State Penitentiary. He's been there about 25 years now. And he shared with me on numerous occasions and with my family that he made a few bad choices. And it set the course of his life. And now he's looking at life incarcerated in the Iowa State Penitentiary. What you sow today, you will harvest later on. Be sure your sin will find you out. Thirdly, we reap lots more than we sow. Again, every farmer knows that. No farmer would plant anything if they thought they would plant one kernel of corn and get one kernel back. It's God's law. We understand that. Listen to what it says in the book of Proverbs. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity. The word calamity is adverse circumstances, and it's interpreted elsewhere in Scripture as sorrow, grief, suffering, and anxiety. Hosea put it this way, they have sown the wind and they will reap the whirlwind. I might say, you want to sow the wind? You'll reap an F5 tornado. You want to sow the wind? You'll reap a Category 5 hurricane. We reap later, not immediately. And we sow a lot more, we reap a lot more than we sow. Let's consider David for a minute. Remember David's sin with Bathsheba? He was out on the balcony when he should have been leading the troops, saw this woman bathing, and he let that seed take root in the soil of his heart. And it led to one bad seed after another. And a year later, God confronts him with Nathan. You read this for yourself. You see this principle clearly spelled out in a negative way in David's life. These are the words that David heard from Nathan, but they were really God's words. I've been good and kind to you and would have added much more. But you've done evil, David. As a result, I will raise evil up against you out of your own house. David, you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword. The sword will never leave your house, reaping more than he sowed. David, you have taken Uriah's wife Bathsheba to be your own wife. I will take all your wives. They will be violated. David, you did this in secret. It will happen in public view. David, that child who was born to you of this unholy reunion will die because you have utterly scorned the Lord. You see, sin costs a lot more than we can afford. And we reap a lot more than we sow. Heed these words today. Number four, we reap in proportion to what we've sown. Every farmer in the world recognizes that the size of the harvest is directly proportionate to the amount of seed sown. You want a meager crop? Scatter a few seeds. You want a great harvest? Plant lots of seeds and lots of ground. Paul put it this way. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. This is what Jesus said to the disciples. Everyone who has left his house, his brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. You want to know why we have a literature table out there every week for you? I want you sowing seeds. And you will reap in proportion to what you sow. Keep giving that beautician, that neighbor, that Schwann man, that waitress. Keep giving them literature. Disperse it. We had a literature table set up for the peddling of kicks and the Christian Family Day. Thousands of pieces of literature on tables. Hundreds of pieces went out. We're establishing a beachhead in West Bloomington. Why? Because 3 hours, one day a year, was nothing. We want to go deeper in the soil there. We want to sow seeds. We want to have conversations. Because the more conversations we have, God will give the increase because we reap in proportion to what we've sown. So don't give up. Keep sowing. Leave the increase to God. Number five, we will reap only if we persevere. Notice that. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart. This is talking about the good harvest. You want a bad harvest? Don't do anything. If you don't want to experience the benefits of eternal life, just come to church on Sunday. And you'll not experience the benefits of eternal life. You want a lousy marriage? Do nothing. And you'll get a lousy marriage. You have a garden? You do nothing, and what's going to take over the garden? Weeds! You see, the bad harvest comes automatically. Just do nothing with your finances. Don't live within your means. Don't live within the budget. Just spend whenever you want. Harvest time will come. But see, we need to realize that as we sow good seed, there will be problems and difficulties, obstacles and opposition. And we have to persevere. We have to persist. We have to keep plodding. We can't give up, Paul says. He uses the word here of a farmer who begins to slacken his exertion because of fatigue. Don't give up. Don't give up. So we see the peril here. Paul was at Ephesus and he wrote to the Corinthians and he says in 1 Corinthians 16, I'm going to stay at Ephesus until Pentecost for a wide door for effective service. The soil's good here. I'm going to continue sowing seeds even though there are many adversaries. We need to persevere. We need to persist. I don't know what you're facing, but don't give up. I don't know what area you're struggling in and ready to just chuck it. Persevere. God promises a harvest if we do what is right, if we continue sowing good seed. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you're going to get immediate results. No. Knowing that your labor is not in vain. Stay at it. God will give the increase. And we see the promise of harvest. If you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap the abundant life. If you sow to the flesh, corruption, decay, deterioration of relationships, of whatever else, and ultimately death. As I close this morning, I have three applications that I believe will address everybody in this room. First, if you're lost without Christ today, and you realize you've been sowing to the flesh, you've been sowing to self, sin, and you're reaping corruption. Well, ultimately, you're going to reap death. Or maybe you're here and you think, you know what? I've sown some pretty good things. I'm going to be all right. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Listen to this truth from Isaiah 64. We have all become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds, what kind of deeds? Righteous deeds are like polluted garments. God is saying your best efforts are used toilet paper. Think about that. If my best efforts or the world's best efforts are used toilet paper, what is our sin like? But there's hope, my friend. It's the great exchange. God has reaped what we have sown. That's what the cross of Jesus Christ is all about. And if you will come today to the foot of the cross and you will acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you've made a mess of your life, you've sown to the flesh for the last time, and you look at the beautiful cross, and you realize that Jesus is taking your sin, dying as your substitute, and you respond by faith alone in Christ alone, through grace alone, it erases that law eternally. And you can be forgiven. And then you can sow to the Spirit. But prior to that, it's nothing but flesh. Maybe you're a Christ follower this morning and you're not experiencing a good harvest. In fact, if anybody were to know, it's been a long time since you've gotten anything good out of the garden. You're not enjoying eternal life. Oh, you may have eternal life, but you're not enjoying eternal life. You know what the good news is? You ready? Huh? The good news is you can start planting afresh today. You can't change the harvest. You can't do anything about what's already planted. David confessed and was forgiven and still experienced the consequences. But the rest of his life, for the most part, wow, right on track. Determine that you're going to confess, forsake, repent, and you're going to begin sowing to the Spirit. And then maybe you're here this morning as a Christ follower and you're saying, you know what, Larry? I am experiencing the benefits of eternal life. I had a good crop last year, spiritually speaking. In fact, I'm harvesting some good things right now. Don't be deceived. You can't live on last year's crop. You need to continue to sow good seeds. You need to continue to persevere. You need to continue to walk with the Lord. And you'll experience a harvest again of blessing. Let's pray. Father, I'm nobody, with nothing to say. But Father, Your Word says it all. And oh, I would long, Father, for Your truth today to find receptive soil in the hearts of these dear ones present. I don't know if it's their marriage with their children and relationships, in their finances, in their prayer life, in their walk with God. But they've been sowing lousy stuff. Oh, they may have been fooling a few of the people, but they're not fooling God. Oh, Father, before they leave this room today, may they not be distracted. May they tear up that which is in the ground, realizing that there still may be some harvest from that, but may they confess and forsake and repent and walk with You. And then there may be those of us, Father, who are enjoying the benefits. May we not be deceived. God is not mocked. We must continue to walk and abide with Christ in newness of life every day. And Father, if there be just one here today who is lost and without Christ, open their eyes. Take Your Word. Bring conviction of sin. But, oh, Father, Show them the beauty of the cross. And may they respond in simple faith with a simple prayer, acknowledging their sin and accepting what Jesus Christ did alone when He reaped their sin. He wants to impart to them His righteousness. We ask this all in the strong name of our Savior. Amen.